I'm really thankful to have been asked to speak today and worshipping with you all here. Some of you will know that I worked at Kmart for 10 years of my life. I was in apparel, so the clothing, footwear, cosmetics section. And it was really great on the one hand. I made lots of friendships. I learned my work ethic. And I learned to relate to different personality types. I had 8 managers over 10 years, so lots of learning of new managers, what they wanted, all that sort of stuff. I loved seeing some of you from church there. I loved seeing kids from the local school that I knew. So there was many great elements about it. I also ebbed and flowed in my dislike of working there. Often I would be rostered on for 3-hour shifts to fold all the tables of clothes. You know those ones in JJ's that are piled this high when people pull out their size and chuck it on? No judgment if you did that. But I would look at the tables and go, this is my next 3 hours. I'd be standing there folding, going, oh, this is so monotonous, can't wait for the shift to be over, da da da. And then there was a time where, probably after a few years, I maybe heard a message at church, I don't know. I decided to change my perspective of it. Because every time I went in, I was not keen to fold these clothes. And I thought, what if I use these 3 hours for something useful? What if I use these 3 hours to pray, to think, to have it as a meditative space, to look around me and see what's happening at Kmart? I think that was the time that, I guess, the kingdom of God came into Kmart for me. It totally changed the 3 hours of work when I acknowledged Jesus in that space. We've been looking at the last couple of weeks of being the temple of the Holy Spirit and inviting Jesus into each room of our heart. So we've had the kitchen, the study, I think. Yep. Becky's doing the bedroom in 2 weeks. You probably want to be here for that. Luckily, I got the workshop. So we're going to be looking at that today, inviting Jesus into the workshop. For some of you, that might be your workplace. For some of you, it might be the place where you put your hands to. It might be at school, retired, volunteering, any of the places in the world you find yourself. Today, we're going to be looking at inviting Jesus into the rooms, into the workplace where we are. So the verse we're looking at today is Colossians 3, verses 23 to 24. Such a great practical verse. It sits in Colossians 3. So Paul is the writer of Colossians. He's writing from jail to a church he didn't start, to a people he'd never met. But his co-worker, Epaphras, I think I got that right, he started the church. And so he visited Paul in jail to give an update of how things were going. He said, the church is going awesome. Things are going really well. The people are loving and worshipping you. There are also some cultural pressures that are impacting people and turning them or at risk of turning them away from Jesus. And so Paul wrote this letter to them to encourage them and to nudge them towards a deeper devotion in Jesus. So Colossians 3 starts off just affirming Jesus as the Messiah. It then moves to the inward, to clothe yourself in compassion, humility, kindness. And it moves then into chapter 3, which is maybe more the practical, or how the inward is lived through the outward. And so this is the passage where it's got the wives and husbands and slaves and children bit. We're not going to look into that today. However, back then in first century Rome, men did hold power over life and death, over his wife, children and slaves. And so the radical thing about Jesus being king is that when Jesus came to earth, as we know, he turned everything upside down. And so that this passage is actually about husbands and wives loving each other as Jesus, valuing children not as objects but as valuable and teaching them how to respect and love each other in the family. And it's about slaves not being property too, but calling slaves, saying you can actually not just work for your master but work for God, and calling owners to treat them well. It's really good. You should check out the Bible Project, Colossians. It's really meaty. But we're going to focus on the whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as if for God. The crux of our message today is going to be looking at serving others as if we are Christ to them and serving others as if Christ is that person. So Jesus' life was for others. He showed us how to serve, how to love. Jesus reached out and he felt the raw, oozing sores of someone with leprosy, and he loved them and he healed them. He turned his body towards that woman who had been bleeding for 12 years. He turned his body to see her, to love her, and to value her. He called out demons, and we know there was a man living in a tomb, chained up because he was so disruptive to society, that he was isolated and chained up. And Jesus went to see him. He called out the demons. This man didn't have any clothes or home, scripture tells us, but Jesus gave that to him. Jesus freed him of the demons, brought him out of isolation into community, and turned his life upside down. Jesus' heart was switched on. It was powered on every time he related to someone. I heard someone say this quote, that as Christians, we sometimes might find ourselves having hard hearts but soft feet, whereas the kingdom calls us to soft hearts and hard feet. Someone with hard feet might be Anthony Wiggle. He apparently walks around with no shoes on. Apparently it's a really good thing from his physio. You could check it out on the Wiggles. But so Jesus gave his heart and everything to God. He called people by name. He acknowledged people he passed in the street. He reached out in compassion. He called truth in places where there was exploitation. He spent time in prayer with the Father. He loved through his life. And so the crux of our message today is serving others as if we are Christ to someone, and serving as if Christ is in the other person. That invites us to consider Jesus in both people when we interact with people. We are Jesus to someone, maybe the Jesus they've only ever met, and the other person also has the image of God and bears Jesus as well. So it's thinking about people as Jesus did, as honoring women, loving little children, loving the foreigner, showing compassion to people in need, humbling ourselves, and then seeing the Christ in the other. Whatever we do for others, we're doing for Jesus. Those who are hungry, those who are thirsty, those who are sick. So how do we do that on a day-to-day level? How do we serve and love as Jesus would and see Jesus in the other? I can think of a bunch of examples that I'm going to read to you that I've seen in my life. One was actually this morning, because I was talking with Elaine in the foyer and I was holding my son Jake, and he vomited, you know, straight aim down onto my shoe, all over it. Elaine said, "I'll go get a napkin from the kitchen." She went to the kitchen, grabbed a napkin. She stooped down, just as Jesus did and would, and she wiped my feet clean of baby vomit. I said to her, "This is like the crux of what I'm talking about today." And I felt so, so loved. Other examples I can think of is the youth team this morning, cooking us breakfast, getting up here early. Aaron Moore, when I was running youth group, used to do the dishes every Friday night without being asked. Kate Alexander's maid of honour, she was cleaning the toilets after the wedding at midnight in her heels, no complaints. My dad dropping off community meals and always picking up the dog poo at our house, unasked. Such a gift. I think of single parents who cook dinner every night for their kids and bath their kids every night. I think of the road workers who are standing out in rain, hail or shine, holding the slow and stop signs. I think of the garbage truck workers who empty our bins, who actually bring the greatest joy to my son, Zach, probably to all kids in the universe who love trucks. I think of Martina at the coffee pot, looking and sitting with people, listening and loving them, as well as serving them coffee. I think of Alice from this community, who, when we painted the church, she said, "I imagine God's hand on mine, brushing the walls with me." I think of the Brekkie Club that is at Bayswater Secondary, valuing each child and serving a meal. I think of every mother like myself up in the night with their babies, tending to them like Jesus would. I think of nurses wiping the mouths of patients after they've eaten food and have some dribble on their face, serving them like Jesus would. I think of my mum with her legal work, listening to stories of pain and separation and loving people in that. So as we think about Jesus, who lived a life of service and invites us to love like he did. I wonder, what is your workplace? What is your workshop? If you're stay at home like me, or if you're out working or retired, a student, where are the places that you find yourself? Can you see the faces of the people that float through your life every week? We are invited that whatever we do, to love like Jesus did. You might be saying, why bother? It's so much effort sometimes to do that, to take those moments when you're in a lift and to say hello to someone there next to you. Why bother with this? Because it makes us better. When we invite Jesus into our lives, when we don't compartmentalize him, just leave him at church, but when he comes into each room of our home, we do things better. We do ethics better. We do relationships a little bit more patiently, with a little bit more understanding, a little bit more kindness, because we know that Jesus has that for us and his love never quits on us. So when I think about serving others as Jesus did, I think of someone that my dad and this church did. This man who came and became part of the community, he was an older man, and he didn't have family around him or community. And this church loved him. Many of you here loved him, gave him food to eat, listened to his life story, encouraged him. And when he was nearing the end of his life, my dad would visit him and he would listen to him. And my mum washed his clothes. My dad helped with his belongings, zoomed with his family members, came to see him after he passed. And through that whole, those few months, all I could see was Jesus. All I could see was the hands and feet of Jesus, loving this man who could have been totally missed, but this church welcomed him into our fold and helped him to finish life well. I'm going to invite Annalie and Rachel Harding up because I think sometimes it's helpful to hear how people are welcoming Jesus and relating to people in their workspaces. And so, Annalie and Rachel, I'd love you to come up. Please give them a clap. So, I've invited Rachel and Annalie up to talk a bit about the workplaces that they are in and how they have invited Jesus into that space, and also the challenges of that, because we want to have real faith up here. So, Rachel, tell us about where you work.
Cool. I work for an engineering firm. It's actually a big company. My role is delivering major projects. So some of the ones I've been involved in you've probably heard about. So level crossing removals, Metro Tunnel project, Geelong Fast Rail, and most recently, North East Link. I'm in a leadership role for the design team. So it means we're delivering these major projects or the designs for these, and yeah, I love it. We're working with the constructors. It's a challenging culture in construction. And it's really, my role is developing the design essentially on time and on budget, and really developing the culture of that group, that major project, to support that as well.
Great, thank you. And Annalie, what is your workplace?
It's two places. It's a private practice in counselling, but I've recently joined an organisation called Pioneers Australia, which is a mission-sending organisation, and my job is to look after the kids and the families. So I am Zooming with young kids, teenagers and young adults around the world and their parents, and hearing tough stories about what life living around the world serving Jesus is like. And funnily enough, some of these kids are really struggling in their faith to see Jesus the way that they perhaps thought they would.
Yeah, great. Thank you. So, Rachel, tell us, how do you try and be the hands... I need to stick to the question. How do you try to be Jesus in words and action at work?
Yeah, it's a really interesting question, and I guess for a while I kind of had this separation of what I do at work versus what I do outside of work, and I kind of, like you at Kmart, had that bit of moment a few years ago in realising, like, that my role is really to, you know, fulfill what Jesus wanted. It's that kingdom of earth, kingdom of heaven on earth now. It's, I came that you may have life and life abundantly. And just treating and valuing people the way Jesus did. And so, yeah, I kind of then distilled down that my vision was down to one word, was thrive. Like, God came and Jesus came so that I could thrive. And my role is to thrive in whatever situation I'm in, but also to create an environment where other people thrive and where other people are valued and loved. So that's what I see my role at work now, actually, to help other people to thrive. I know that when they feel loved and valued, just the way Jesus would have loved and valued people and included and accepted, they're going to do their best. So the projects are going to thrive. They're going to, you know, they're going to feel that they can take risks and be accepted. So they're going to be more innovative and creative. And, yeah, I get really excited about that, about creating kind of that place. And it's often seen really different, too, in the construction industry, which is a bit of a, you know, it's a fairly tough environment. For people to feel like they are, yeah, that they can belong, they can be themselves. That's probably it.
Thank you. An extra question. A few years ago, you told us about your couch in your office. I'm not sure if it's still there or not, but can you tell us about how your couch is a place for people to belong?
Yeah, there's not in my new office, but I do the same thing. I guess I take people for coffees is one of the big things. And the idea of the couch was it was actually, you know, got termed Rachel's couch because I used it so often, for having conversations with people. I think so often it's around sitting next to someone or coming alongside. I think in a high-pressure environment, it can be if you're sitting across from someone, it's very us versus them. But if you can kind of see yourself as coming alongside, that you're on the same side, you've got the same objectives and things like that. I think whenever something's tricky, it's probably getting onto your next question. I try and think, well, how can I understand it from that other person's perspective? How can we, yeah, be heading towards that together? Yeah.
Great, thank you. I love that side-by-side visual. That's great. How about you, Annalie?
Yeah. Well, my job's now changed, and so I am in a Christian organisation. So it's an interesting one. But I'm always asking myself, how can I spread Jesus at all times? And so I started seeing my trip to work as the place to share God's love. I catch public transport, and I now have 2, sometimes 3 days on public transport to look around and see opportunities to take up a conversation, because people take out their phones and their heads are down, and there's no one making eye contact. So I'm the only weirdo making eye contact and engaging people in conversation. And I've now started getting courageous enough to say, I believe in prayer. I'm a Christian. Is there something I can pray with you about? And that's really scary. But I just think that if I'm not somehow finding places where it's harder for me to be that, but then I'm actually doing the thing that God, I think Jesus would be looking around. He would be smiling, he would be talking, he would be calling people into conversation. So I'm doing that, and I do it out on the street. I really talk to anyone. I think that's probably the bottom line. I think we take for granted what we bring into a situation. We get trained here weekly to be kind and good and to listen well and to love people and care for them. We come here and we're being trained, and we create a culture that is actually not the norm in a lot of places. So just us being there is sometimes enough to usher in God's spirit, and then we just have to open the mouth, which I do quite well.
I love that. I love the thought of what we've experienced here today goes with each person wherever we go. I love that. Thank you. So when everything hits the fan at work, or you have that really tricky boss or colleague, where do you find Jesus in those spaces?
I like to say when the fit hits the shan, which it does regularly. I think for me, it's around, because I've often works and life is very busy, but firstly, and I'm really bad at prayer, to be honest, to be quite honest, but for me, I find that I need to just sit in God, like not say anything. It's that be still thing. So whether it's on my commute or looking out a window or connecting with nature, firstly, it's just being connected at the core to Christ and then getting myself right with God. And then the second part, I guess when it's a difficult person or a difficult situation, it's in that sitting with God that I find he adjusts me usually. you know, God always shows up, but it's not how I would think. He doesn't go and change this person over here and change this situation, but he changes my perspective. And I often, if I'm struggling with someone, I'll start by, God, help me to show me why you love this person. Show me why you value this person. And if I can start to see that person from God's perspective, it changes how I interact with them. And then that naturally sometimes changes how they interact with me. I found that that's kind of a foolproof thing. I think for me, success is when we're no longer enemies. Like, it's not that I've won over you, but I don't see you as an enemy anymore. And I think sometimes it's around God then showing me like where I need to step up or intervene or be brave and courageous and have a conversation with someone, which is often really scary, or when I need to listen to them. And so I think with difficult people, it's often changing my view of them, but also inviting them to hear, give me feedback first. So, you know, I can see that we're struggling to come to, come to agreement on this. What's frustrating for you, or where are you not getting what you need from me? And then after I've listened to them, they often will ask a reciprocal question. So it allows that space to kind of move forward together. But yeah, I've always found whenever something's difficult, a situation or a person, just by sitting with God, yeah, God creates that change in perspective and a change in me.
Love that. Because in scripture we see Jesus asked like hundreds of questions to people, and so I hear that you also asking some coaching questions, some questions to hear where they sit. And I also love too how you talked about praying for others and it helps change you. Like when we say, God, how do you love this person? Help me too as well. Very practical, hard prayer, but transformative by the sounds of it. Yeah, thank you.
How about you, Annalie?
I love Rachel's thing about changing me first. I'm slowly learning that one, that instead of give me an answer, let me know what I need to do now next, it's waiting for God to change my perspective. I guess the question I've learnt to ask myself recently and most recently is, I say to God when things get really yuck, I'm not seeing this very clearly, God. How can I see it more like you do? So I start there. I say, okay, this feels this way. I don't think it is. I question myself and I'll sit with that and work on that. And what can I learn from it? So even the trickiest person I've found can teach me something, because sometimes they bring a lesson with them and it's something that I can learn from as well as them. So that's, I guess, what I'm asking myself recently when things get really yuck, is saying, I'm not seeing this very clearly. God, help me see it the way that you would. And I start praying for them, even if I don't like them. So I start going, okay, I grit my teeth and I go, God, you love them. And I pray into it until I'm the one that shifts. And that's a really lovely thing, because the next time I see them or the next time I'm in that situation, I'm in a better place. Mm. I think that's what I do. Yeah. Mm.
Thank you. Thank you both so much for sharing with us. Can we give them a clap? Mm. It's so great to hear on the ground what loving others as Jesus did looks like, and also the challenge of that. But the main thing I heard through both of you sharing just then is around prayer, around starting with prayer to help us to see as Jesus did. So I think that's what we'll do to finish the message together today, is to pray. And I invite you to close your eyes and to see Monday to Sunday, to see the different places that you walk, the different rooms you enter, the different people come across your mind, the ones who you are energized by and love to see, and the ones who stir up a bit of an in you. As you picture these people and these places, where do you think Jesus is? As you look at the faces in your mind, how might you see the image of God in them? That they too are loved with a love that never quits. That they too are seen truly as they are and still loved by God. Holy Spirit, we gaze into our lives with you right now. We are looking for your movement. We're looking for how you, God, love those who maybe are sometimes hard to love. For those in the room today, if it's your first time here or considering Jesus, perhaps now is a chance for you to say hello, to maybe invite Jesus in maybe a little bit into your life right now. For those of you here who are in a really tricky spot, whether it's in family, in work, in church, in leisure, Holy Spirit, we ask you to draw near to them right now. We ask you, God, to help us to see others as you do, to serve others as if we were you, Jesus, serving them, and to serve others as if your face is in the face of the person in front of us. We know this is hard, and so we draw near because we know it changes us and it has the power to change the world. If we are taking all that we've experienced this morning to our Monday tomorrow, may we look for how we can be your words and your actions, your tangible love. And we thank you, Holy Spirit, that you help us to do that, that we don't do it alone. May you equip us, may you guide us, may you breathe anew into our spirits today. Amen.